Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill, in here, Dan is out for most of the week. He's got Troy women's basketball through Thursday, so he'll be back in on Friday, which will be our last day on the air before Christmas. I apologize. Got some sinus stuff going on that it makes the throat tickly and raspy, so I apologize for that. Brian Matthews, our regular Monday co-host, will be joining us here in the studio in just a few minutes. But in once again, and it's been a little while now, been over a week or so since we've had a chance to have Coach Don Dunn with us here in the studio. Don, how you doing today?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks again for having me. Always enjoy being on.
Absolutely. Hope everybody is doing well here on this nice-looking Monday, a little warmer than we've had it here over the last few days. We will get into so much, because there is so much news to get into with Auburn basketball with their continued dominance, just destroying Ohio State in the Holiday Hoopsgiving in Atlanta, and a lot more additions to the Auburn football program. They now have a quarterback. They have a left tackle. They have a couple of defensive backs that they've added. As a matter of fact, two quarterbacks. So we'll get into all that and much more in just a little while. But first, we have to start off with the tragic, sad news from yesterday as Auburn football chaplain, former football player and longtime chaplain of Auburn football, Reverend Chet Williams. Brother Chet is everybody. I mean, that's how everybody knew Chet. I remember him from, you know, from back in his playing days when he came along following his brother Quincy to Auburn. And then, his story was so touching and heartfelt, and he affected so many, many folks, not just football players, but I mean, just so many people he touched through the years. Don, you knew him because Coach Tubbs is the guy who brought Chet back to Auburn as the team chaplain.
Yeah, we got here in '99, and shortly after, Coach Tubbs brought him back, and a great guy. Like you said, Bill, touched so many people, not just the players, the staff, the families, the children, the secretaries, the administrative staff, everybody. You know, he always gave the I remember the bowl games the best. We'd always have a Christmas service, and he would lead that or have a special guest. And just a great guy, just a shock, hard to imagine, to believe that something like that happens to such a young man at 61. But, I was fortunate. I got to see him and visit with him back up at the first of the of November when we had our reunion.
Right, the 2004.
20-year reunion, just a tragedy, a sad day for Auburn.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and to everyone who has had the opportunity to get to know such a great man in Brother Chet. And, speaking of those folks and another great Auburn man now joining us here on the phone, and that is Mr. Roy is how most folks know Roy Parker, who is one of the latest inductees into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, joining us here on the Drive. And Roy, yes, I know this really deeply touched and hurt you when you heard the news yesterday.
Bill, you're so right. I'd drive Chet to a lot of his meetings in Birmingham or whatever while he worked on what he was going to say and so forth. And I'd like to relate two instances. Once we were coming back from Birmingham, and, and he's probably done this a million times, but we stopped up around Ellic City at a Texaco station to get us a Sneaky Pete hot dog. He loves Sneaky Pete hot dogs. And went in, and of course he bought me one. I'm kind of slow on my hands out of my pockets, but he bought me one. And we're sitting there, and this unprivileged family comes in, a husband and wife and two children, and they were going to buy something, and they were up there, and Chet could see they were having problems getting the money together to buy the food, and Chet went up there, and I think they ordered something like $25 worth and didn't have but about $12, and Chet told them that he'd get it, and then he let them keep, he paid for the whole thing, and that's one instance I'm sure that I just saw that he's probably done many, many times. And another thing that struck me, I drove Chet up to Lloyd Nix's funeral back on the 26th of November, mm-hmm. and Lloyd was a good friend of a lot of people and a good friend of mine. I drove him. I spent 12 and a half hours with Chet that day. We met at the complex at about 6 a.m. I drove him up, and in Birmingham, we stopped and picked up Ed Graham, former Auburn player that ran that touchdown fumble
Florida State. Absolutely.
And we went up and went to the private ceremony where we had the burial, and then we stayed for a celebration of life. And going up there, Chet asked me for some figures and stats on Lloyd, which I gave him, and he wrote down. And during the service, the celebration of life was held outside, and it was a breezy day, and he had his notes there. And after the service, he came and said, "Roy, I want you to have this rock," says, "it was holding the notes down that I had made from you during Lord's service. I thought you'd like to have this." And, you know, I thanked him and put it in my pocket and brought it home and put it by a picture of Lloyd and me in my study. And then I hadn't thought of that much since then. And the other night, last night, when I got the call, I went in there to make sure that rock was still where I had put it.
Right.
Because that rock had a lot more sentimental value to me now than it did even with Lloyd's passing.
Oh.
But it's emotional for me, but if you're a Christian, you believe that Chet is in a place with his brother Quincy, Chet Jr.,
mm-hmm.
and his mother. And Chet's had a lot of difficulty the last 4 or 5 years.
Really has.
The deaths in his family, but he was a great guy, like you had said, and you can talk to many people that'll share the same thing. But I lost a friend. We went to practice every day, and we carried on a lot with each other. But I'll miss him as everybody else will, and just a great guy, a great Christian. He helped a lot of boys, and he really loved Coach Tuberville. Coach Tuberville gave him the chance that he wanted to get back to Auburn, and he had a great life. And I'm sure he's happy up there smiling down at us today. Thank you, Bill.
Oh, thank you, Roy. And speaking of a rock, I mean,
he
was the rock. I think that is a great story because
yes.
Chet was the rock that anyone who needed any help could could depend on.
Yeah, you know, like every Friday night, the devotionals, for 10 years I was fortunate enough to be a part of. And, like I said, if he didn't deliver it, he brought in the greatest speakers. Always had a great message that related. You know, a lot of these guys would just talk. He had a story.
Mm-hmm.
He could relate to the kids. He'd had tough times. I mean, he wasn't no angel, and he'd tell you that growing up, and just a great man and so sad. And like Mr. Roy said, he touched so many people. And over the last 24 hours or less than 24 hours, I've had a lot of texts from former players and seen a lot of stuff on the social media where, they're just so sad and disbelief and a lot of testimonies that, how he helped them. And just a great man. Sad day.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be it's one of those things that the next time we're out on the practice field or out somewhere, it's like you'd be looking for him.
Right.
I mean, because you just expect to see him there going around. And, I mean, it's sad, sad day. And we really appreciate it, Mr. Roy. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, sir.
Bless you.
All right. You know, I think it was a very fitting today. Bruce Pearl met with the media, and that's what Bruce opened up with.
He said,
I'd be remiss if I didn't, comment on the passing of Brother Chet when he opened up.
Yeah, I saw that, Bill. You know, it's just shocking. I mean, it's just something you don't expect. I got a call last night about 7:30, and really I got a text that said, call me immediately. And whenever you get one of those, you know something's not right. And unfortunately, it was bad news.
Yep. All right. So, again, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone who has, you know, been blessed to have, you know, have been able to meet or even be around Brother Chet. We will get to our first break. Brian Williams from AuburnSports.com joining us here in the studio. And we'll catch up on, man, there are a lot of comings and a couple of goings from Auburn football in the transfer portal. Again, I apologize. The voice isn't quite normal today, but hey, I've got Brian and Don here. So come on in and join us. You can call us on the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390. That's sponsored by Skybar, or text us on the Drive text box, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number, 334-564-1390. 1840. We're just underway. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com joining us in the studio. B-Matt, how's it going?
It's good. And we were just talking about the transfer portal, which is really heating up for Auburn.
A lot. Hey, it has been a much quicker flame for Auburn, and I think that's the right thing to do. You've got to jump in there while you can. You can't wait and hope that you know, you get the last visit, because the whichever one, the first or second, may end up being the last.
And Auburn this year has done a much better job of getting kids in. Right now, I've got 11 going out, but I don't think Amaris Williams is set in stone by any means.
Auburn's not given up yet. They would sure love for him to stay. He was the latest to enter to announce, or to the word got out that he's going to enter the portal. Yep. He is a player Auburn would dearly love to keep, because, I mean, he is an extremely talented, young player. Just played. He played some this past year as a freshman. You saw a big number 10 out there moving around pretty well in a few games.
He's the guy that Don Dunn and Terry Price would love to have in their room.
Yeah.
They'd probably be fighting over which one gets him.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those big kids that's athletic enough to play on the edge. But he's got the frame.
He's strong
the
enough
size.
To play defensive end. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll see. That one is far from over. So right now I've got 11 leaving, including Amaris. But that doesn't include the walk-ons. It does not include Antonio Kite. So
right. Yeah, because he was already gone.
Yep. And then 7 coming in. So 2 quarterbacks, Jackson Arnold, which was a few days ago, and then Ashton Daniels just announced.
Just a little while ago.
I was over at the complex and got to speak to him afterwards. Some things that stood out to me. He is graduating this spring at Stanford in 3 years.
3-year graduate from Stanford. That tells you he's a bright young man.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
He might be too bright.
I mean, it took me 3 years to get through my freshman year at Auburn. What are you talking about?
He's also. I haven't stood next to him, but I mean, he looks like he's pretty good size.
He's got good size, and if you watch him, he is very athletic.
Oh,
he
yes.
Can do a lot of stuff on the field. He has 2 years to play one, meaning he's got 1 year of eligibility. But also as a redshirt, if they want to use it.
Yeah, because he's not coming in until summer.
But he is planning to come in and compete right away. Mm-hmm. You know, that's his goal. So we'll see how that goes. I mentioned Jackson Arnold, that's two. They got running back Darrell Robinson from UConn, a bigger running back.
Right.
A little bit different style than Damari. And
and he's a guy that's got 3 years of eligibility.
Oh, is that right?
Three? Yeah, yeah, because okay, I believe he redshirted at Charlotte and then played at UConn this past year.
Okay, so he's got 3 years and a good compliment to Damari and Jeremiah Cobb. They got the punter, Hudson Kack from, I don't know how he pronounced his last name.
Yeah, I think it's just Kack.
Okay, from Oklahoma State. You got Xavier Chaplin.
Yeah, that is a – I mean, that was a very big. Needed – I mean, Auburn needed a quarterback. They needed a proven quarterback, a guy that they feel can play and win in the SEC, and they needed a proven left tackle. And Xavier Chaplin is that kind of guy. He was a third-team All-American, and this past year, even though he was banged up, was made some All-ACC teams.
And that's a position that Auburn has really, really struggled to fill, recruiting,
and I
portaling.
I think he's got 2 years.
You name it. It's been a while. You could make the case. I mean, there's Sean Coleman, there's Prince Tega, but you could maybe make the case to go back to, you know, Tubbs and Don Dunn's era to find a tackle as good as what I think, potentially, this
Chaplin.
Guy, yeah, this young man can be. So we'll see. Don't want to put too much pressure on him, but Chaplin was a huge pickup. And then they got three today. They got the safety Tase Seymour,
from, I believe.
Georgia Tech. They got a cornerback, Rayon Strader from Miami, Ohio. And, of course, we mentioned Daniels. Mm-hmm. And I think there could be one or two more, you know, that could pop in the next few days.
Well, I mean, they're still looking for that defensive lineman, big guy to plug in there on the defensive front.
They need a nose. They need a three tech.
They would like another linebacker.
Yeah, they need another edge guy.
Yep.
Defensively.
Especially if Amaris doesn't, you know, stick around.
Yeah, either way, they still need one.
Yes.
And then offensively, they still need a tight end.
And they want a receiver for sure or two.
And I'm hearing really good about receiver right now.
Well, Tase Seymour, if I'm not mistaken, was Eric Singleton's roommate at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, like I said, I'm feeling really good about that.
And he was at Ole Miss. I think he canceled his Georgia visit. Singleton did.
And that they're recruiting several other offensive linemen, so they may take a right tackle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of talk about the USC offensive tackle. All right, so we'll get to more of that. But let's get to the Drive hotline because we've got Brian who's been hanging on there for a while. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Hey, Bill, Coach, Brian. Coach, well, first of all, just condolences to those that knew Brother Chad. I never knew him, obviously, but had read a lot about him, and just a sad situation, but he's in a better place than the rest of us. But condolences to you, Coach, for your loss.
Thank you.
Question for Brian. You know, with Amaris potentially leaving, is this – I mean, you know, you kind of expect some of the guys below that don't really get the playing time and stuff like that, but it always hits you hard when it's a five-star, especially of his caliber. How much of that is agents getting in his ear? How much of that is maybe our D-line coach I heard is going to be a defensive coordinator somewhere? I mean, I know you probably can't sell everything, but, I mean, what's going on there? I mean, is it just other things or a combination of all? Or
yeah, and I do think that Auburn and other schools like Auburn are going to have to deal with this every single year. It's just part of
too.
It.
Until there's more guidelines that are in place.
But I think for Amaris, you know, he's from North Carolina. There are a lot of other schools that would be interested in a big, fast, really talented defensive lineman.
I've heard that the Bill Belichick at North Carolina is something that is intriguing to him.
So, there's going to be these things that happen. You know, I'd say it's probably 50-50 whether he returns or whether he actually enters the portal officially. But Auburn is doing everything it can to keep him. They rate him very high. They think he could be a starter and an impact performer this fall. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But this is part of it. I mean, you had the opportunity to make your team better, but you can lose some good players too.
It stinks from a fan perspective. It really does because it seems like there's not a lot of loyalty anymore, and it's a shame because I miss that. I mean, you know, that's the part of being a college fan is having an actual loyalty to the school you go and sign with.
Oh, yeah. You used to be able to. It's like, well, here's what we can look forward to next year. And just think the year after that. It's like you can't do that anymore. It's right now. I mean, it's just this year, and you hope you know who you've got this fall.
I understand that. And I understand that a coach like Don Dunn probably would not like this. But given the other side, other perspective, I would say this. This has happened because of the courts. That's not going to change. The only way it changes is if there's some sort of collective bargaining, if they're employees or something similar, and they're able to negotiate some things into it. Number two, I do think when I look at college football right now, I think the portal has spread out the talent more, and I think it's more competitive at the top. So
I think you can tell that when you look at the playoffs.
We don't have maybe a whole long list of years to compare it to, but so far that's just the way I see it. So I agree that it does take away from these guys that pay their dues for 2, 3, or 4 years and then become starters and become really good players, and it can be tough on the fans. But there is another side to it.
Yeah. What about last question? I'll let you guys go. Is Walker definitely in the portal? And if so, any other names you think we'll see or any other people that we're going to look into?
I have not checked on Walker, but if he's not, he should be officially going in within the next 24 hours or so. I don't know that that's in question at all. Maybe it is. I'm just not aware of it. As far as Auburn's concerned, there could still be – it's 1 week away is the end of the going into the portal, not getting out of it.
Actually, so it's almost 2 weeks, 28th.
I thought it was the 23rd.
No, it goes to the 28th.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I think there may be a dead period like Christmas Eve, Christmas Day or something. Okay. But it goes for 20 days in December and then 10 days in April.
So there could be some more surprises. If you look at what Auburn is trying to bring in at offensive line, you would kind of imagine, unless they're going to carry 19 or so offensive linemen, that some guys may choose to.
Yeah, it sure looks like they'd like to bring in 3 or 4 offensive linemen, right?
Yeah, so that's one area to keep an eye on, and you never know what else could pop up just because it is kind of the Wild West out there.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks as always.
Appreciate the call, Brian. 334-321-1390. Let's sort of back up just a little bit and talk about some of these guys, because there have been quite a few since Friday.
Yes.
I mean, and obviously the first, and I think the biggest domino was Jackson Arnold.
Very, very important. Very talented kid coming out of high school. Had some ups and downs at Oklahoma, but you have to take into account their offensive coordinator situation.
They had a new offensive coordinator, and then they fired that guy at midseason.
And they had, I think it was 4 top receivers that get injured.
Five receivers, and they had basically a brand-new offensive line this fall.
So there were a lot of things that contributed to some of those ups and downs.
Oh,
he certainly finished the season on a strong note, and that win over Alabama was really impressive at home for the entire team, including him. He's a dual-threat guy. He can legitimately run and hurt teams with his legs. And I think when he's feeling right, he's in the right system, he's comfortable, I think he's a guy that can have a higher completion percentage than maybe he's showed so far. I think he can be that type of
And his completion percentage is still like 63% or something, 62, 63% for his career coming in.
And I also see him as a talented guy that still has growth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where maybe
I think his ceiling is extremely high.
Yeah.
You haven't seen that much, and that's the concern is you don't know, what you're going to get right now or, how soon or when or if he's going to be consistent. But there's no doubt that the potential is there, and that's why I believe he's the highest rated quarterback Auburn's ever had on since the ratings.
Right.
Guys like Pat Sullivan, there weren't ratings and things back then.
And basically, from what I can tell right now, him and Deuce Knight are going to have all the reps during the spring.
I mean, so there'll be some walk-ons. But those are the two scholarship quarterbacks because, as you said, Ashton Daniels won't be in until the summer. So you've got two guys that are going to get tons of work this spring.
So it'll be good for both of them. That should be a really good competition because I think Deuce Knight is maybe a little bit better than people expect him to be.
I wish I had been able to. We were down at a family Christmas on Saturday, and it was happening at the same time as Auburn basketball was, so I wasn't able to check any of the Alabama-Mississippi game. But everybody who watched that said, wow, Deuce Knight is was very, very impressive. He had, I think he had like around 140 yards rushing, including a 55-yard touchdown run, and was like 17 of 23 for 180 yards passing.
Yeah, he's special. Yeah. Great athlete. Mississippi has great athletes. Yes, and he's one of them.
And he is a good sized young fella. I mean, it had a picture of him and KJ Lacy standing next to each other. They were the team MVPs.
Yeah.
And KJ, of course, from Saraland is going to Texas. But I mean, my goodness, Deuce nearly a head taller than KJ.
Yeah, he's going to be fun. I think Auburn has upgraded the talent and experience in their quarterback room, and hopefully that room and that offense and everything that goes with it is on the ascendancy here, because they need to be. Right?
Oh, yeah.
This team's got to get it going.
No question about it. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise as we continue with the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Don, and Brian, Coach Don, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, here in the studio on this Monday. Drew's back from his trip up north. Got to go see his Steelers, and said it wasn't even the coldest weather that he's ever been around. So good. That's good. Hey, I tell you, it's going to be interesting. I haven't really taken a close look, but I don't think it's going to be exceedingly warm for some of the playoff games starting this Friday.
Is it Penn State they were talking about below zero? Possibly, or in the teens, or
yeah, I think so. Tennessee, Ohio State is going to be. Okay. I don't think the temperature is going to be above 30 all day there.
Maybe the feels like part of it was blue. I don't know what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, so we've got some,
which is great. I love it. These playoffs belong on college campuses, not at some boring, large NFL stadium.
Indiana Notre Dame is going to be pretty cold. Yeah, so. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's great. The playoffs are starting Friday. We'll talk more about that. Let's talk a little basketball. My goodness. I mentioned we were at a family Christmas down in South Alabama, and so we weren't able to just focus on the Auburn-Ohio State game. That was not a game. No. Auburn again just toyed with Ohio State. They had, because, all right, so we got home, and yesterday while I'm working on some stuff at the house, I decided to just run the ball game in the background, the recording of it. And Auburn had, like, what was it, close to a five-minute stretch where they didn't score. And they still, I mean, they were routing them. It was like 25-8. And then the next thing I know, it's 40-something to 20. I mean, it was a blowout, and Auburn could have beaten them by 50, easy.
And they had three big runs in that game that basically buried Ohio State. Going in, I was kind of wondering, could this be a game that Auburn has a letdown? Because Ohio State is not as good as you would think they would be as far as their record.
Their RPI was top 25 going in.
And you knew they had really good players. So you just wondered, would Auburn maybe not take them as seriously as they should? Could Ohio State surprise Auburn? Nope.
They have not done that yet. Now, tomorrow night, I'm Bruce today talking to us, telling us how talented Georgia State is.
Yeah. Of course, that's everything.
They've been blown out by a couple of SEC teams, and Auburn, the players will know that. But tomorrow will be a good test of, are they going to, because they got Purdue next. And I know Purdue has stumbled a couple of times lately, but still, that's the next big ball game is coming up this weekend in Birmingham against Purdue.
It is.
So, I mean, if they're a little lethargic, I mean, it'll be understandable. But, I mean, to this point, I've been very impressed with how focused and they have been about just taking care of business.
I have too. The incident on the plane has not been a sign of anything.
Not at all.
Has not held this team back at all. which tells me a little bit about the leadership on the team, you know.
Well, you know, we've seen, and you don't think of it in basketball, but Don, I mean, I used to feel like, and I don't know if it's still the same way, but I used to feel like if everybody just gets along so fabulously on a football team, you might have a problem. Yeah. There need to be some guys who are a little edgy and don't like, you know, either taking a back seat or being talked to.
You guys have been to practice. There's always little skirmishes.
Yeah. I mean, the last practice we went to, what happened?
Yeah, and then, then the coach is trying to fight each other. But, yeah, you want a little edge, and I thought they've handled that, you know, great. I thought Coach handled it. Right. What he did, that showed me a lot. Now, if he'd have taken those guys, I think he would
turn around, brought them back, and left them. You didn't see them the next game. Yep. Then the next time you saw them, they weren't dressed out, but they were on the bench. Then they were dressed out on the bench, and you know, so it's they've had to work their
coach
way back.
Coach Pearl handled that. He did a great job with that, I thought, as an old coach. Yep. But yeah, how about the whole SEC in basketball?
It's unbelievable. It is.
Somebody said they're going to get like 12 teams in. Yep. If they played, you know, if they started the tournament tomorrow.
Well, and Auburn opens up against Missouri, which beat number one Kansas about a week ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a war every single night.
The SEC right now is dominant. I mean, five of the top seven teams in the latest polls.
Yeah.
All right, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. First off, I want to express my condolences to the Williams family. That's an untimely loss for the entire Auburn family. Second, I wanted to get the coach's opinion on when you got all these players jumping in and out of the portal willy-nilly, and you've got to schedule them, you got to get them on campus, and you got to make a decision in one day to offer them. How do you go about vetting them as far as even if they can get into school as far as compliance and also having to see if they're going to be a good fit and not be a cancer to the team just because they're a great athletic asset?
That's tough. That's a great question. Most of these guys that are in the portal, they've been researched as much as possible in the last whenever it started. You have so many people now on your staff that are able to do those things. You check with your fellow coaches. You try to get a background check as best you can, but it is hard and it's tough. And never being involved in that, I admire these guys. I don't know how they do it.
I would say, and Brian, I want your thoughts on this. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you have such large staffs now. You have to have, a staff that is constantly not just looking up guys that are entering the portal. They had better have a good handle on every single team in the country and potential targets from each one of those teams and know as much as they can about those guys so that when they're getting ready to enter the portal, you're already in contact with them. And you may not – I mean, sometimes you'll have had some contact with them, like a situation with Ashton Daniels is from Buford, Georgia.
Right.
And I'm sure that some of the coaches had if they hadn't had contact with Ashton, they'd had contact with his coaches at his high school. Yep. And that is an invaluable resource is their high school coaches, their former coaches, finding out what they think of those guys. But that's where if you didn't have the size staffs that you do now, that people's, you know, people at times go, it's ridiculous that your staff's that big. Well, if you want to get players and be on top of this in the transfer portal, I think you have to.
The other thing they can do is use the coaching fraternity.
Right.
Because even though some coaches at Auburn may be pissed that this player is leaving or that player is leaving, there's a coach on this staff who can talk to a coach on another staff that may be interested in that player.
Right.
And he'll probably give him a pretty straight answer.
Yeah. Because you'd like the same in case there's a player coming from that school.
Yeah. That's kind of an unwritten fraternity for sure.
And I'm, like I said, I'm 54 now, so I'm probably old in the opinion of a lot of the listening audience, but this is not I'm not crazy about this era of football. I don't think this is actually what we want college football to be. We saw Marshall opt out of a bowl game because they had 35 players in the transfer portal.
Yeah, they didn't really have much choice. I mean, I understand why they did, but it is crazy that you'd have a situation like that.
I understand why, but still, it's kind of sickening. As a fan of football.
I mean, just the thought of any sport, just imagine the thought of any professional sport having everybody's a free agent every year.
Yeah.
That's what we've got right now.
Yeah.
Do you last thing? You know if the game tomorrow is going to be on TV?
It is on SEC Network Plus / ESPN Plus.
Yes. Yeah. So it's 7 o'clock. Well, so that's stream. Yes. It's on SEC Plus.
But Pearl did mention that there's still tickets available. I think they're standing room only, but. Mm-hmm. For games like this, when the students aren't in town, they open up that section and
you can
let
come
people,
down and sit in the jungle area.
So, I think Coach Pearl, I don't think it was today, but I think it was after the game, he said something about you can come sit in the student section, act like you're a student. And I thought, man, if I was to do that, I'm not sure I'd ever be welcome back to Neville Arena again. So, but if anybody wants to give it a try, you know, go for it.
All right. I appreciate y'all's time. Thank you.
Appreciate it, John. 334-321-1390, right back to the drive hotline. And James is next. Hey, James.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
So, I've got a few things I want to talk about. We'll end it with Alabama at the end of it because, you know, we always get a good laugh out of those guys. I'm kind of upset with the Auburn fan base for a little bit. I don't understand why they keep comparing Jackson Arnold to Peyton Thorne. If you go back and look at the high school ratings, Peyton Thorne's a three-star rated quarterback, and Jackson Arnold's a five-star. I just don't get this argument that they keep making that it's just going to be more of the same apathy, woe is me, we're not going to get anything out of it. I'm not understanding this. I mean, have y'all figured out where they're getting this from, or am I just losing my mind?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One is it's a lot easier to make a splash if you're critical and want to get a few likes or looks or views or whatever to do that. I mean, Jackson Arnold has not put up world beating numbers yet, but I think he'll have a better supporting cast at Auburn than he did at Oklahoma. Look, the guy was the Elite 11 MVP. Yeah. A year ago, fans would have lost their minds if Auburn had added Jackson Arnold.
Yeah.
And then he goes out this year, and as we said a while ago, played with a patchwork offensive line, and the number six receiver was the best guy that he had to throw the ball to, with an offensive coordinator that came in and tried to run the prior year's offensive coordinator system. Don, you know how well that works.
Yeah.
And then they fired him mid-season. Yeah. So, I mean, What did you expect a first-year starter to be able to put a team on his shoulder that is not the most talented team in the league and win? I guess some people do.
The other things I want to touch on, and I know this is going to be a little controversial on this one, I don't know all that's involved with Walker White and why he's deciding to leave. I've been told it has something to do with his mama being sick, but then I've also told it's about agents convincing him he can get money somewhere else. If it's the agents thing, I don't understand that, because the guy's may have a future here. You're getting into the portal and you haven't played any significant playing time or got any experience game time, and you're going to transfer to where what Power Four conference team is going to take you and say, oh, you're a dynamic starter right now. I mean, I just think, I don't know if that's the right decision. I don't know who if it's the agent's thing, I don't know who's advising him, but that may not be a good idea for him. I don't know what's going on with that. So, but that's all on that one. I don't know if y'all want to chime in, but that's just.
No, we can talk
about it. A little silly.
I mean, I don't know, and I think Brian said earlier, I mean, we don't know exactly what all has gone into the decision. But when agents are involved now, you don't even have to say when agents are involved. Agents are involved. Everybody has someone that is talking to them going, hey, there's an opportunity over here or over there. And you're looking at a situation with a Jackson Arnold coming in who has 2 years of eligibility left. Now, look, Jackson Arnold would love, and I'm sure he's probably confident enough to feel like, I'm going to go into Auburn, I'm going to put up fabulous numbers, and I'm going to go on to the NFL after 1 year. And he may. If he does, that's great. I mean, that would be, there'd be some Auburn fans going, oh, that stinks, I want him back. But, you know, you got one pretty good year out of a guy named Cam a few years ago who still had a year of eligibility left.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But the backups back then didn't have that opportunity that there is to just sort of test the waters and see what's out there, see where they may go. So I'm sure that's part of it is, you know, when Walker White reads the comments or hears Hugh Freeze saying, Deuce Knight's the most talented quarterback I've ever signed, and then you bring in a five-star quarterback from Oklahoma who's expected to be the starter, you probably got to figure that I'm not going to be the starter this next year.
And I expected Hank and Holden to go ahead and transfer. I'm not surprised by that. I thought Walker would stay here for at least spring and maybe another year to compete and sort of see where he stood. But I can also understand where he's wanting to move on. And yes, he has had some illness in his family. I don't know how much people know about that.
I think a lot of people don't.
Specifics, but I think that all played a part. I don't know anything about specifically with him, agents or money. But this is part of college football now. I know it's hard to accept, and I know it's not the easiest thing to deal with when you have all these people. You know, you get excited about signing a kid and recruiting, and then he's gone after a year. I know that's difficult. But Auburn signed a great 2024 class. This is two of those guys, right? Just Walker and Amaris? Are those the only two from that class?
Had nobody left before now? Maybe. Or maybe not.
Maybe someone I'm not thinking of. But it's not like the whole class.
No, you're right. You're right.
And as I said, I do think that the other side of this is that college football is more exciting and more competitive. And I think that's going to continue to happen as more of this talent spreads out.
So, lastly, I want to talk about Alabama for a few moments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on over there, and I really don't care. I can't wish them any better luck with this. You know, it couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. But, you know, I don't understand what DeBoer is thinking over there, because you signed two players out of Alabama, and they're linemen. And out of the rest of the signees, they're either from California, Texas, New Jersey, Nevada, and Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of California kids, which is understandable. I mean, that's where he has some contacts. But I don't think long-term that you can continue to expect that you're going to have to get all out-of-region players in and be able to compete in this league.
I think in this era it's a mistake. I'll just call it for what it is. I just think when it comes to kids making decisions whether to stay or leave, you have a much better chance of keeping a kid here that lives close to Auburn and is not out of the region. I'm not saying you shouldn't recruit these kids, try to get them here, but when it comes to transferring and holding on to your players, I think it's going to be a lot easier to keep kids that are closer to home.
I agree, Brian, because if you live closer to home, you're less likely to transfer. I'm not saying that's the only reason. But
it's
a factor
If you're homesick, it's much more likely you're going to stick around if home isn't far away.
Yep.
And if Alabama runs into the first sign of trouble, all them California players are going to be like, yep, I'm gone, bye-bye, and that's going to be the end of it. And then they're going to be trying to figure out how to get it back in, and by then, Freeze ain't going to let them have the state back. He already took all the talent except for two of them, and they went to Ohio State. So if he thinks he's going to give back part of the state, good luck, Chief, because you're going to need it. So.
All right, James.
But I'll see you guys later.
Good stuff, man. All right, I guess the only other player who signed last year who isn't out of eligibility didn't come back is Laquan Robinson. So, yeah. I mean, he was a JUCO signee, and he's transferred. So you're right. The 24 class is still pretty much here.
Right. And
they haven't completely given up on Amaris yet.
Yeah.
So. All right. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join us here on the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. For loving expert care for ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes of hour number one. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews from Auburn Sports here in the studio. And Brian, I mean, so much has gone on. Yeah, we haven't mentioned that Auburn has lost an assistant coach.
Yes.
As Josh Aldridge is headed to East Carolina as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and good for him. He was the coordinator, I believe, at Liberty before he came to Auburn.
Right.
It's interesting because coaches have to kind of balance I could probably make more money at Auburn as a position coach, but being a defensive coordinator is a step up in your career, and it could lead to being a coordinator at a bigger school, or possibly the next step could be a head coach somewhere. So,
yeah, that's usually why that happens, and I understand it, and, you know, great opportunity for him.
Yeah, so Auburn will have a spot there on the defensive staff that they'll need to fill. Have you heard any names or anything?
I have not.
I haven't either.
I've been too.
I mean, it is crazy with yeah. all the movement that there's yeah. been. Auburn's had around 20 kids already visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and I see that. I mean, there are more coming in tomorrow, at least. I mean, early on, I've seen a couple of names coming in tomorrow. The receiver from Wake Forest, I believe, is coming in. Linebacker from LSU. Going to come in and visit. That's a couple of the spots where we talked about a while ago, Auburn looking for some help.
Yep, they are. And I think the staff is doing a great job of getting all these kids in early and not waiting and trying to get as much as they can get done before Christmas. And then, you know, if they have some pieces.
I think the kids would like to, too. Oh, yeah. You'd figure, you know, it's like go ahead and have all that settled, spend Christmas with family, and then hopefully enroll in January.
Because they got to move, too, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right, music means we're halfway done here on the Monday Drive. Got an hour to go, so plenty of time for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline as we continue with hour number two of the Monday Drive.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Brian Matthews here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And hour number two of the Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations at Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Again, I apologize. Got a sinus situation here that makes the throat tickly and the voice a little scratchy, but we'll try to make it through another hour. Love for you to join us. You can help out by doing a little talking yourself. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. You can text us also on the Drive hotline, which is presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcast of the Drive. And the text box number is 334-564-1840. We talked a good bit in hour number one about the transfer portal, Brian, but it's hard not to. I mean, it's crazy to think that we're less than 2 weeks removed from the early signing period when most players went ahead and signed. Yeah. But, I mean, there's just much more news and new news with players entering the portal, visiting somewhere, deciding where they're going to go.
Yeah, and thank goodness the NCAA was smart enough to move the signing period back a few weeks and they got that done.
Before. How bad would it be if it had come in the middle of the transfer portal like it did last year?
It's just killer on these coaches.
I mean,
it's just too much. So that helps, although it still makes this holiday season, especially if you're a team that's playing in a bowl game or playing the playoffs, just incredibly tough as far as managing your time and doing all the stuff that needs to be done.
Yeah, I say it every time I'm on the show. I miss coaching and the players and the coaches, the fans. I don't know how they do it.
I
used to think it was tough, you know.
It's so much more now than it was. I mean, the closest thing, there wasn't a transfer portal.
No, and there was rules and regulations and a calendar.
Yeah, there would just be, yeah. I mean, you had the early signing period, which has been there for a few years ago.
Yeah.
There was an SEC early signing mm-hmm. period.
Yep.
But you didn't have the transfer portal
on top
of this.
No, you didn't have that. And then once signing was over, you were pretty much done until spring recruiting.
Right.
And you got the plan for spring practice. And then you had a couple of weeks off, believe it or not, yeah. in the summer. I don't know if these guys get any time off. And that's why you're seeing these guys, the head coaches, go to be assistants
right.
and take pro jobs and vice versa. Yeah. And I'm very interested to see how this guy in North Carolina handles this.
Yeah,
Belichick. Really I just chuckled when I saw that. But good luck to him.
Yeah. I mean, you get that 20-day or so dead period in July in a few spots, but it's just really, really the calendar has gotten crazy, crazier than it's ever been.
I wonder, though, Brian, I mean, and we keep hearing people saying, you know, something's got to be done about it. I'm trying to figure what could you really do? You need to have the transfer portal needs to be set up so that players that want to be in school for the spring term can be in there by the middle of January. So that needs to come somewhere before then.
My feeling is they need to move the early signing period to the end of June or July.
Preseason.
Do it in every other sport.
You're absolutely right. Every other sport has a preseason signing period and a postseason signing period.
Yep. So that ends a lot of your recruiting for that class right then and there.
Right.
Because most players are going to sign early. And then, you know, if you're worried about – if you're a young man, you're worried about it, you know, let them have a built-in waiver if your head coach leaves. You know, or whatever, or 2 weeks to make a decision or something. Whatever it is, you can work that out. The big thing against that, I think, is high school coaches worried that kids will sign
opt
with the school
out.
And opt out. But you just don't see that in any other sports. I understand football is a little different, but I don't know. I think college football has to think about what's best for college football and their coaches. And this calendar is not acceptable, in my opinion. And they need to do more to fix it.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. But anyway, Auburn, we talked about it a little bit in the first hour, but, I mean, the approach that Auburn has taken this year is a 180 from last year. And you're seeing, boy, I mean, it is paying early dividends.
It is. I think bringing Will Redmond in made a difference. I think it's been more focused, more aggressive, and it's definitely making a difference. And you can see Auburn getting their top targets in early. Some of these guys are just taking a visit to Auburn. That's it.
Yeah.
Ashton Daniels did not visit any other school and didn't plan to visit any other school. He just came to Auburn and just made his decision. So you're getting much more of that. That's what happened to Auburn last year, and now Auburn's doing
right. Auburn schools. Was waiting for some players to come visit, and they never made it because they just went somewhere. And now you also, this year, you have the additional insurance or whatever, that if a player signs that financial agreement, they're done.
Yep.
I mean, last year, players could go, they could commit, they could whatever, they could sign a financial agreement, but that wasn't binding. All that meant was the school would have to pay them if they came.
Right.
Now it is binding on both sides. Once you sign that, you can't sign with another school.
Exactly.
So that is big, and Auburn's done a very good job of getting signatures on a lot of the players that they've brought in.
They really have, and I give them a lot of credit. They're working their tails off over there, not just trying to get Porter players in, but trying to keep their, you know, players here, and also preparing for winter workouts and spring practice, all of other things. You know, they've all got families mostly.
Oh yeah.
So, and this is, you know, an important time for that too. So
this is terrible to say, but really Auburn's fortunate that they're not concerned about preparation for a bowl game right now.
Yeah.
When you're in this situation, you're probably better off than if you were playing in a, and you know, some folks would cringe at this, but a meaningless bowl game where, you know, people don't, well, the fan base wouldn't really care that much about being there. We've seen too many of those the last few years, and Auburn probably would have been better served last year, you know, not playing in it and focusing on the transfer portal a year ago.
I know a lot of people still enjoy the bowls.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it may be time for the bowl era to end, and maybe look at a system where you have the playoffs and maybe an NIT-style playoff.
Yeah, why not?
I saw a bracket that would have set that up, and the teams in it and the competition would have been fabulous too. I would have absolutely watched that.
Oh, that's cool. I have not seen
the
bracket somebody drew up, but there'd be something to play for
more
there because there's so many bowl games now. Yeah. And, I mean, they'll be starting. Heck,
tomorrow.
The thing is, they do, but the playoffs start Friday.
I know.
So, I mean,
crazy.
While the playoffs are going on, who cares about some of the other bowl games unless your team's in it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
South Alabama already won their bowl game.
Yeah, that was already a bowl game.
Yeah.
I remember when I was at Western Kentucky, you wanted to get in that early bowl so you could go home for Christmas and win it.
Yeah, a little different when you're in the Power Four.
Yeah, you want to be in the playoffs.
Now you want to be in the early playoff. I'm just going to go ahead and get in the early playoff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, all right, we talked about some of the players. I didn't really mention, you said a while ago, Ashton Daniels, the quarterback who's been at Stanford. Talk a little bit about him. I mean, there's been a lot more talked and written about Jackson Arnold. Right. Ashton Daniels is a guy who actually has more experience than Jackson Arnold does.
Yeah, I think he's been a two-year starter at Stanford. I know we mentioned earlier, but if you weren't listening, graduated in 3 years. We'll graduate in 3 years at Stanford this spring, which
and
is
that,
incredible.
Yeah, that's the reason why he won't be here until summer.
He's also a dual-threat guy. He threw for almost 4,000 yards, rushed for over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, ran for almost 700 this year.
Yep. So that fits perfectly in the type of system Freeze wants
to run. Yeah, you want an RPO. He also had probably his best game of his career statistically was Stanford's overtime win over Colorado and Deion Sanders' first year at Colorado. He threw for right at 400 yards in that ball game.
His completion percentage went up from 58.8 to 60.7. Has thrown more interceptions than you'd like, 21 TDs and 20 interceptions. But as players grow, maybe that's something that can change. So we'll see. He'll have a chance to come in and compete in the summer. And as he said, he has a redshirt year, so there are other possibilities that could work out for him. Maybe he comes in and plays as a backup. Maybe he's a key leader in the room. Who wouldn't want a Stanford grad in their quarterback room, right?
No kidding.
So
you figure he ought to be able to catch on.
Right? Or maybe he wins the starting job, or maybe he's able to redshirt this year, and Jackson Arnold goes out there and has a fabulous year and goes to the NFL, and now he's able to be that veteran guy that competes with Deuce for the starting job next spring.
So do you think Auburn, Hugh said he wants four quarterbacks in the room. You think he goes out and adds another quarterback, or that fourth guy is just a walk-on?
Well, that's interesting because of the system that college football we're in now, Auburn could still go get a quarterback who is okay being a backup because he is getting paid a lot of money to be a player at Auburn. Because teams in the SEC, because of revenue sharing, are going to be able to pay their players a lot of money just to be a scholarship player on the roster. So I think that's still a possibility. I don't think they have to do it now, but I still think it's possible that he's going to get his four. Because he said this a couple times.
Yeah.
He is pretty adamant.
He feels like he needs at least four. He's got to have four.
So we'll see.
What about the questions from some folks that say, well, why not go out and get somebody who's better than Jackson Arnold? You got enough money left in the bank? I don't know.
Probably not. Ooh. Because anybody better than Jackson Arnold is going to cost a couple of truckloads.
Reports of John Mateers entering the portal today. Mm. That's a name that a lot of people had been wondering about. And boy, Washington State had been doing everything they could to keep him from entering the portal because he has multiple years left. Of course,
but his former coordinator is at
his former coordinator and quarterback coach are now at Oklahoma.
Where
Jackson
Arnold
left. It
makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah, that move does. And Quinn Ewers has been another guy.
Yeah, Mateer's a Texas kid, another Texas kid, too.
And then Quinn Ewers, speaking of Texas, is another kid that people have talked about. Maybe, could be, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. There was a report the other day that a Big Ten school. Is ready with a $4 million offer.
What Big Ten school really needs a quarterback from the portal to be the big-time starter right away that paid a few truckloads of money for top freshman, but maybe we'd like to give that guy a year to get
better?
Yeah, I
can see it. Well, he started off in the Big Ten.
Oh, remember? There's another Big Ten school that made a big quarterback move that didn't really work out so far for him as well as I thought it would, so. Maybe it's Ohio State. I don't know.
Well, he started at Ohio State before he went. Remember, he was committed to Ohio State, remember, before he went to Texas.
Oh, okay, yeah. Interesting.
So he's got a prior relationship there.
That's why you never want to burn bridges now.
That is exactly right. Yep. All right, 334-321-1390. We're just a quarter of the way into hour number two. Love for you to join in. Any of your thoughts on all the player movement or anything you want to talk about sports-wise as we get to our first break here in hour number two of the Monday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
For loving expert care for your pets, visit
au.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 17 minutes after 5 o'clock. Don't mind talking what we were talking about a little bit there, doing some fixings for
Christmas.
When are you leaving? You were just telling us you've got plans right now. You've got plans to drive to Minnesota.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to go. We've done it before. We've done it twice. We're a little smarter now. The first time I drove straight through. Donna thought I was crazy.
16, 17 hours,
yeah. Because I don't sleep, you know me, Bill. But anyway.
Yeah, but it's different than
in a car. Thank God for Sirius Radio, driving. Right?
Yeah.
For the cable radio.
Oh, you're
but
right about
anyway,
that.
Yeah, we're planning on going. We'll see. We're going to check the weather. If there's any chance, we'll postpone till spring.
Yeah, so in the meantime, we were Brian was talking, and I said, look, this is something I take advantage of just about every year is hitting up the folks next door, getting some of the smoked turkey, and yes, they do sliced smoked turkey breast.
Yeah, and we'll do the whole turkeys, the whole hams, but you need to get those orders
it's
in.
It's so good not to have to be carving
in the next
and
couple
already
of
have
days.
It done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would highly recommend that.
I'm going to take advantage of that.
I hear you.
I'm actually getting hungry thinking about
that. Me too.
334-321-1390. I'm still full from over the weekend when we went down to South Alabama, I'm telling you. Love for you to join in anything you want to talk about sports-wise. I talked a good bit of portaling today, but rightfully so, as Auburn's added a couple of more players. In case you're just joining us. Two defensive backs being added today. Tay Seymour, a safety from Georgia Tech. Rayon Scott? Is that his name?
Rayon Strader.
Strader.
From Miami, Ohio.
From Miami, yeah. I highly thought of corner.
Yeah.
So a corner and a safety added to this class. And, you know, some folks may be going, well, why is Auburn going after defensive backs? Thought they had some really good young defensive backs. And they do, but the number is still you need to have more than two or three corners.
If you look at the cornerback room, you know, you've got Kyan Lee coming back.
Right.
You got Jay Crawford. You got Jay Crawford coming back as potential starters. You know, Kyan could get a look at nickel possibly. You got Champ Anthony eventually coming back from his knee injury. But then, as far as cornerbacks go, you got Tyler Scott coming back from his injury.
Yeah, he's been hurt for a couple of years now, and I guess Kinsley Fauston is a guy who played some, but he was considered more of a nickel than he was a corner.
And then you got J.C. Hart, so there's not a whole lot of experienced guys behind Lee and Crawford. So bringing in a guy like that can compete with them, DB is always a position to me throughout my career that can get banged up because they're smaller guys that are being asked to, you know, tackle big receivers, big tight ends, big running backs, so they can take a beating. Because a lot, especially, I mean, I'm sure this is everywhere, but Auburn has this history of getting these 5'8", 5'10 DBs that will knock the ever-living you-know-what out of offensive players. But that takes a toll over a 12-game season, so you need some depth there.
Yeah, so I mean, if you get three true cover guys, man, you're in such great shape. You can go to situations and match up where you didn't used to worry about this, Don. I know that you know, years ago, really, and Alabama was probably the first team in this league to do that, to be able to line up, you know, guys at flanker or in the slot that could just kill you if you didn't cover them.
I mean,
used to, if you had two pretty good cover guys, you were fine. Now you had better have somebody to cover that slot guy.
You can't cover them with linebackers anymore like you used to. Walk a linebacker out there like you're saying. No, you got to have special people to cover those guys because that position has changed a lot.
Yeah, the way offenses have, you'd better have really skilled players there. And the other thing we were talking about, I mean, Auburn really looking for an edge. They had Clev Lubin has been in, right? And I think Auburn felt pretty good when he left. I think they'd love to add him now, even especially with the question about Amaris Williams.
Yes, and you know, Amaris is a guy that could be a DN or edge. You got Keyron Crawford coming back at that buck linebacker position, that edge piece. So that's good.
And then there's Joe Phillips is about.
And then Jamonte Wall and Joe Phillips both redshirted, and Jamonte's coming off injury, so. You need another proven guy there, and you also got Jared Smith coming in.
Yeah. Now, does Jared, in your mind, is he an edge or a defensive end, or is he sort of another could be either one, sort of like a Morris.
Right now, I'd play him as a pass rusher. That seems to be what he does. If you watch the state championship game, he was relentless getting after that quarterback. So, but he does have that frame where...
Yeah, he's 6'6", yeah, and looks like he could fill out from that 250 or whatever he weighs right now.
He could end up being a big
Which is
boy.
Sort of like that's sort of the way Keldrick was when he came in.
Yep, started out at, I think they called that, they didn't call it the Buck then, it was something else, but, and then, moved to defensive end.
Right, yeah, he was like 6'5", 255 when he came in, and now he's, 288 or something, 6'6", 288.
He could even be a quarterback this year, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, boy, if you could do that and get pressure from, from that spot, that's what you want to really be able to get after a quarterback. So we will see. But, I mean, Auburn's been working the portal there, and we talked about the quarterback situation.
One thing I like Coach Dunn to talk about this, but I think in today's defenses against these offenses, you got to have versatile players like Amaris, who can be a D-end or an edge,
right?
Like Keldrick, who can really play three positions possibly because of the packages, and you don't want your best players leaving. You want them to be able to stay on the field. But talk a little bit more about that, maybe.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, when I was here, you had a real nose guard, like a T.J. Jackson.
A plug.
A strong push-the-pocket run defender. You see some of those guys, but now you see, just like you guys were talking, the longer, the taller, the leaner, the athletic guys that could be an edge rusher, could drop even in coverages, or rush the passer. And with the offense now, it's just basketball, basically. And that, I don't know if there's a, there's always a place for run stoppers only, but you don't see that as much, or I don't, watching TV. You still see the big slugs in there, but yeah, you're right, Brian. Those guys need to be so athletic. Great hips, change of direction, tall, get their hands up, contain. You got to chase these quarterbacks around a lot more than we used to have to.
They're a lot more athletic in that position than they used to
have. And it's interesting. I mean, Auburn's got two guys in the signing class from this coming year. It's going to be really interesting to see. Malik Autry from right here in Opelika. He's a big youngin', Don.
He had a good week of
– he really did, down at the Alabama Mississippi All-Star Game. 6'6", 325 or so.
He's a big man.
And then Jordan Crawford. I mean, there's another guy. I mean, he's more built like what you normally think. I mean, he's in the 6'2", 330,
right,
but quick
range. That's the key, quickness, change of direction, great hips.
And you got Bobby Jamison Travis back there for Auburn, but you do.
He's really the only experienced guy.
Yep. I think Jordan and Malik are going to play.
Yep.
But you don't want one veteran guy and two freshmen. You want a couple veterans and the two freshmen to see how they can get into that rotation.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Has Auburn? I guess Dallas Walker probably is the defensive lineman that they brought in.
He was in early.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And it's funny when guys have come in and they haven't done something. You almost think, well, maybe not. But I can understand why some players and their agents would say, "Hey, let's go check out a couple of things before you go ahead and put pen to paper."
Exactly. So we'll find out what he plans to do. They brought in a guy from Wisconsin too, didn't they?
Thompson's an offensive lineman. Who's the guy from Wisconsin? Yeah,
I can't remember if he came in or not. James Thompson. It was James Thompson. Josh Thompson was the
offensive lineman.
I don't know if James ever been.
I don't recall him for sure being here. But man, it's tough to keep up with. I mean, I think they already have had more players visit than they did a year ago, and they're nowhere near done.
Is there a time limit on how long they can be on campus?
I don't know. I think it's like regular visits.
Yeah, 48 hours.
48 hours. But most of these guys don't hang around 48 hours.
They want to come in, see, and go.
So the ones that make it and spend the night, you usually feel like, oh, they're interested.
Right.
They're not in a hurry to leave. Yeah. I mean, because if somebody comes in, is on campus for a couple of hours and gone, it's probably they were just coming in. Okay, what's the offer? See you later.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. That I can't imagine dealing with that.
No, you got to have enough staff just to go to the airport.
The thing is, when you're used to talking about, you know, how you fit in and the coaching styles and the academic culture and all
this. Go have the academic meeting for an hour.
And now when somebody comes in, dorms. It's just like, okay, what are you offering?
Ching, ching.
Yeah. How much am I getting? Yeah.
Wow. Which might be easier.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know that there's anything, you know, right there on the horizon or imminent, but man, there's got to be something. There's got to be some guidelines here. Yeah. I know that the lawsuit is going to come back up and be continued in April, but I mean, you just have to hope. I understand the players' point of view. It's like, forget that crap. Who needs any rules? Want to just keep going and we'll get more and more and more. But I don't know that that everybody's pockets won't start getting a little bit lighter before too long.
This is a lot of pressure on the big money folks at all and across the country.
I mean, I know, as you said a while ago, I mean, you're making a ton of money from the TV contracts and you know, from the conference and all that, but there's still it's costing the big money folks bigger money.
It is. Yep.
Yeah, so we will see. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. I see, every time I click, I see somebody else. Jalen Mbakwe of Alabama has entered the portal. There's one of the top corners.
Yep.
Have they added anybody? I don't know that I've noticed anybody. Yeah, I guess they have. They've added a couple, but they've had a lot of guys entering the portal. That's not that unbelievable. Mm-mm. After a coaching change.
It's not. And, you know, it's still Alabama, but I think the talent is getting spread out. I just feel like they're not going to be as loaded.
They're not as far ahead of some other schools talent-wise as they were just a year or two ago.
I agree.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join in the final half hour here on the Monday Drive.
211-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. 25 minutes away from 6 o'clock here on this Monday. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, and Brian Matthews. Don, we're going to try to drag Don back in as much as we can this week.
For sure.
Since Dan is up in Cherokee, North Carolina.
Yep.
He said they're staying at the resort.
Casino.
Yeah.
Resort. Yeah.
He may not come home.
He may not.
I wonder if they had any trouble getting up there because of all the bad. Remember the roads were all out?
My sister lives. My sister lives right near there as well.
Beautiful country.
Yep. Absolutely.
See the bears and.
The real bears.
Running around.
I seems like about once a month, my sister's posting another picture
of
a bear out in the yard.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up going to Boone and Grandpa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's awesome. Banner Elk, Lee's McCrae.
Yep. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. My youngest sister's in Black Mountain. So it's right there as
beautiful
well.
Beautiful area.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Cullowhee.
Yep.
Western Carolina. Yeah.
So Dan will be back on Friday. That will be our final show before Christmas. So next week, don't worry about it, Brian. We're off next week.
If I show up next Monday, it's going to be kind of dark.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
I don't know
with
how.
No lights.
Not going to let me in.
You have to break in.
I will not be doing that.
That's fine. You really won't do that
Christmas
badly.
Christmas in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Unfortunately, I've never done that.
No, me either. Been close, but no, I'm just kidding. Just teasing.
It is Monday, Brian, of course, every week has his Monday musings brought to you by Uncle Keith's Red Sauce.
Thank you. Yes. this is kind of a guess one. Did you read them yet?
I have not seen today's.
The lead is going back 254 years.
Wow. That's actually before Don and I.
Yeah. A little bit before, not much.
254 years.
To the birth of one of the greatest composers and pianists of all time. It's a name you would.
Beethoven.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were trying to link it to music, like, and go either roll over Beethoven or a fifth of Beethoven.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, but. Just wrote a little bit about the great job that Auburn is doing in the portal for my column part. And, of course, Uncle Keith's Red Sauce Available Publix, Piggly Wiggly's, Renfro's, statewide, homegrown. It is delicious salsa. Tastes so fresh. Give it a try. You can find it locally at Kroger also. And then if you need to order online, you can use discount code BMAT15 for 15% off your order.
Yeah, that's great. Wow. As a matter of fact, that is on our next trip. I just finished the last of the last bottle that we had the other day. So
very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Time to load back up.
I love it. Man.
It's perfect for football Saturdays.
Oh, yeah.
When you're getting together with the family for holidays to have some of that, you know, before the meal. So, yeah. Great.
Yeah, while you're waiting, in case sometimes it takes a little longer to get the meal prepared or something. Yeah, it's good to have something like that. All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get back to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Good. I'm fighting to make it through.
I am too. I hope I don't cough while we're having the conversation.
Yeah, I don't. I can't find that push to cough button in here anymore.
Yeah. Well,
I know it doesn't.
Brian, on your recommendation, I was in Renfro's in Dadeville right before Thanksgiving and brought home a jar.
Nice.
And you're correct. It's very good.
Yes. So good. I'm glad to hear that.
It will be a staple in at least on that eastern side of the lake.
There you go.
So it's interesting that you have Coach Dunn on today, and I know don't want to get all soft on y'all, but you know when I was growing up and knew everything before I knew anything, coaches used to keep me in line and used to encourage me and give me strength. And you know, when you're an athlete and you're dealing with some of the injuries I dealt with, you really just want to say the heck with it. Mm-hmm. But you know. People like Coach Dunn and Coach, I put you in the same light as Chet Williams. I've heard your players talk about you before, but Chet Williams impacted so many people other than players in the Auburn family.
Right.
And he was a remarkable human being who really cared. It's hard for men to say it's cool to have other men mentor you and teach you things. And trust him, but he was a tremendous man, and I'm sorry that we lost him in what appears to be a tragic accident. So
right.
I just want to say that, and Coach, give you thanks because I've heard your guys talk about you before. So no, it's a difficult thing that y'all do on a day-to-day basis when you were coaching.
Yeah, you were in school the same time Chet was, weren't you, Tex?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
He was a quality young man then, you know.
Yeah, he often told the story. You know, hey, I think it was in the dorm he came to know, you know, the Lord, and he was on his way out. You know, he'd gotten in some trouble, and he told that story to our team probably once a year. Coach Dye was ready to send him down the road, and I cannot remember the other player that met with him. I'm sure it'll come out in the next couple of days. But I appreciate your. Nice comments, you know. And it's just a tough time and unfortunate. And, you know, there's never a good time, but right here before Christmas, and sad deal. And it sounds just like a freak accident that, you know, you never expect to happen. And but what a great man. And you're so right, Tex. He touched other people. Like we were talking earlier, Bill and I, secretaries, the Tigerettes, the managers, the trainers, the doctors, the coaches. He used to do a devotional just for us, you know, the coaches. Mm-hmm. And Coach Tubb was really good about that. And, you know, sometimes he'd make you feel a little guilty sitting there listening. But it was always a pleasure. And I was so glad I got to see him a couple weeks ago at our reunion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been around athletes most of my life, and I know how difficult we can be. I never met – I've yet to ever hear anybody say a bad word about you, Coach, or about Chet. So it's just remarkable that he's impacted the people just by that change of life. And sometimes we got to be beaten down and shown the door before we find the right door to go through.
You're exactly right, and I really appreciate those kind words. But you're right. The people I look back on are my coaches. And some days I wanted to kill them, you know. And I thought they were wrong, and I was stubborn and hard-headed. But, you know, thank gosh for coaches, you know, and people like Chet. I thought it was so good that, you know, Coach Tubb did that at Ole Miss, too. We had a guy named Dagon Yeary's last name, and just a fine young man. And that was kind of unheard of then, you know, when you had a guy that was with your team 24/7. I mean, he was with us every day, 365 days a year. You know, a lot of guys would have team people come in and speak, you know, motivationals. I know you've had a ton of those in baseball and stuff. But Chet was there and had an office there. So those kids, you know, have a bad day, they went to see Chuck. And it was Wes Yeary was his name at Ole Miss, a great guy, and friends with Chet, too. So just a tough day.
Yes. Well, and I will tell you, it's not very popular. Bill will understand this. The gentleman that I played for, Coach Nix, wasn't overly liked by his players, because he was extremely tough on you.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 2 years I was there, I thought, damn it, Tex was my first name.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I know. I have an offensive line coach in college. He's now deceased. But 20 years afterwards, I'd go back and see him. I'm still scared. I was still scared to talk to him.
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you, Cindy and I, when we decided we're getting married, we talked to two people in the athletic department. One was Coach Champy, who was her coach, and we went in to see Coach Nix, and he gave me this advice. I told him I want to be a college coach, and he said, no, you don't. You got something better in life in store for you. And he looked at Cindy, and this is a true story. She hates when I tell this part. He looked at her and says, just remember, Cindy, ladies don't chew gum in public.
So, wow. So she was a point guard.
Come
on now.
Yeah.
She's a point. So at a reunion that we had right before Coach Nix passed away, we walk in, and Mr. Lloyd looks at him and says, hey, it's Tex and Cindy and the kids. And he was all excited. And he grabbed me and said, you're not coaching, are you? I said, no, sir. And he looked at Cindy and said, you're chewing gum, are you?
What a great story. Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of people disliked him. I will just tell you that if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be where I am today.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
All coaches should be that way.
That's
great. And
just
one last thing. I do have a son-in-law that was very close with Chet. So he's pretty beat up about
I'm
this.
Sure.
And he's just – it's tough on them. So prayers to the family and the Auburn family, too. Last but not least, golly, I never thought I'd say this. I'm so in love with Auburn basketball, and it isn't because they're winning. It's the way they play, and they play unselfish. Your All-American is dishing the ball and not turning it over.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing for a 6'11 dude.
He is leading the team in assists.
That's wild.
Not just Saturday, for the season.
Yeah.
He's leading the team in assists.
Yes. It is so much fun. I was almost late for a wedding on Saturday because I wanted to watch the end of the game. So.
Well, you know, it's going to be like football.
I was bummed when they hit that three and pulled under 40.
Yeah. It's going to be like football. It's we're getting so good in basketball, you're not going to be able to get married in the winter either. You're going to have to do it spring break.
Well, Coach, I did it once, and our motto is failure's not an option.
That's right, buddy. I got an anniversary this week.
Wow.
Yes.
I got an anniversary this week. Woo.
I'll let somebody else get in. But, Brian, thanks for all you're doing on the portal reporting. It makes life easier for people that get bombarded sometime asking questions about other players, and it makes it easier for me to look up.
Oh,
so thank you.
That.
And Brian, it's nice to have some news to report like this.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's not any fun. You're reporting, well, they left and they're headed somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, they never made it.
Yeah. I mean, so credit to Hugh Freeze, Will Redmond,
and the whole staff,
all the staff.
Their tail off.
Yep.
I mean, for what they're doing to be
giving,
you know, supplying the news that you're able to report.
And I've been over there a few times over the past week. Caleb, our recruiting guy, has been spending hours over there.
Oh, my.
Yeah. But I've managed to go over there a few times, and every time a kid comes in, it's not just the position coach. It's about a dozen or more coaches are there to greet him and welcome him. So They are making a big effort with these young men.
And it's obvious that it's working, and that's one of the things you're hearing from just about everybody who comes in. We'll get one more call before we get to our final break of the afternoon. And John is up next. Hey, John.
I just wanted to add that on the passing of that was really sad. Thoughts and prayers with his family. I think the player who actually witnessed to him was Kyle Collins.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, probably so. I appreciate that. I could not remember his name.
Yeah, I actually met him before. He does commercial real estate up in Huntsville, but he once looked like the Giants. Is Auburn planning on maybe trying to pick up the portal? I don't want to stand on the
I think he was talking about special teams. We almost lost John there toward the end.
Yeah, I couldn't hear what the question was. Was that special teams?
He said something about special teams. So
they got a punter.
They have a punter.
Oklahoma State.
Right.
And I believe they will look for a kicker, although they may wait until after spring to see how things develop.
Yeah, the situation that they have right now, right. They have some options. And a kicker, wouldn't be something that he wouldn't have to learn. You know, it's not like a new system of kicking. I mean, right. The ball is snapped, it's placed, and you can kick it.
That's right.
So, I mean, if they did need a kicker, I'm sure they'd be able to go to find one if they felt they needed it. Yeah. And you've got 10 days, I believe, starting April 15th for the second portal.
That is one to keep an eye on. And I think as far as return game goes, I think they've got a lot of athletes on campus already that could fill those roles. Malcolm Simmons.
Yeah, Malcolm Simmons is the guy that just jumps out at you as you would think he'd get an opportunity. I mean, we've seen Jeremiah Cobb back for kicks, but I mean they've brought in some guys that could do that as well. I don't know about Darrell Robinson. We talked about him a little while ago. He's a little taller of a back. Mm-hmm. When you hear big back, you think he's not a 230-pounder something, but I mean he's a little taller. And I've heard, haven't really watched much video on him, that he has really good hands as well.
Yeah, so he will definitely be an option in that passing game. And depending on how well he's as a pass blocker, maybe that's a role he can fill if he doesn't win the starting job or is not the number two guy. We'll see.
Well, I'll tell you, somebody else that could figure in the return game if Auburn were able to land him is Eric Singleton.
Yes.
There's a guy who is a serious, serious return threat. And again, Auburn signed his roommate today in Tay Seymour. All right, we will get to our final break of the show. Still time for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
There's nothing better than